If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 13. And we're nearing the end of our journey through Romans chapters 12 and 13, a sermon series that we've entitled, Where We're Going, and there's kind of a denman on that, Where We're Going, Seven Marks or Seven Goals of a Healthy or a Godly Body of Believers. To this point, we have looked at five of those goals. We want to be a church that worships sacrificially. We want to be a church that truly is a mighty mosaic. And we want to be a church that loves genuinely. We talked about that, how love is very, very costly. We want to be a church that is like Christ in all things and that are Christian citizens. Five marks or five goals of a healthy church. And today we want to look at the focus or examine a focus on fulfilling the law. And if you have any questions about what fulfilling the law means, the video should have answered that for you, love. Romans chapter 13, and I just want to read three verses, 8, 9, and 10. I would ask, if you're physically able, that you'd stand in honor of God's holy and infallible word. As I read this scripture this morning, Paul writes these words, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." This morning, I want to preach on the subject of simply fulfilling the law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, for the opportunity you have given here, us here today to come to this place and worship. Father, we're mindful that being able to gather together is a privilege. It is an opportunity for us to draw close to you. Father, we would ask in these moments, as we have been led to your throne of grace through the music and our praise, the prayers that have been offered in our hearts, Lord. Now, Father, I would ask that you would just speak to us. Father, I would ask that you would just move me out of the way, that your word alone might be proclaimed. And Father, that in all things, that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, might be high and lifted up. Father, we hold to your truth that if Christ be lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. That is our desire, Lord, as a church, as a congregation, as your people. Now, Lord, just speak. That is our prayer. It is our plea, and we ask it in the wonderful saving name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. These three verses, I think, are quite revealing because the same message is reiterated three times. And that is simply this, that love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul begins by saying this, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law once." And then again in verse 10, he says, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then finally in verse 10, again, just in case we missed it, Paul says this. He says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I think what Paul is saying here, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, he's saying it that way, I think, to imply emphasis, and it is simply this, that love, loving each other, loving another, our neighbor, our brother, our sister, those like us, those who are not like us, loving them, and Paul uses agape here, the love of God, loving them is fulfilling the law. I'm often fascinated by the way Paul writes. I mean, Paul, in his writing, says some pretty powerful things, doesn't he? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, Paul says some profound things. Here he's saying something profound as well. And if we're not careful, we miss it. I must say this. I'm a little amazed at what Paul doesn't write in these verses. We remember the story of the lawyer who came to see Jesus, and he asked, what is the greatest of all the commandments? In other words, still, what is the fulfilling of the law? And our Lord's response to him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But here Paul seems to focus only on loving our neighbor. And he says, in that, we're fulfilling the law. And I wonder, what is Paul telling us here? I think the answer is found in a parable that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 10. It's one of his most popular parables. Luke chapter 10, why don't you take your Bibles and turn there? It is the story of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan. I want to read this story to you because I think that it adds some clarity and some great insight. In fact, I think it helps make the point, the central point that Paul is writing here in these three verses. The Bible says this, behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a good question, isn't it? Really, his question is simply this, what can I do to be right with God? What can I do so that my life is okay in the eyes of God? Or better yet, what can I do to fulfill the law, to make God happy? What can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, of course, he responds to this man by asking him two questions. One, a question of knowledge. The other, a question of clarity. He says, what is written in the law and how do you read it? In other words, what does the law say and how do you understand what the law is saying? And this man, he answered him. He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responded to him by saying simply this, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. I mean, that is the fulfillment of the law, isn't it? To love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do it. Great answer. And you'll live. But then the conversation takes a twist, doesn't it? And by the way, this is the twist of all humanity when this lawyer asked, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? That's it right there, isn't it? I mean, right there, this man has clarified what Paul is writing in Romans chapter 13. Oh, no one anything but to love them, right? The one who loves the other has fulfilled the law. Basically, I think what this lawyer was asking Jesus was, what are the parameters on this thing called love? How far do I have to take it? What is the limit to which I owe someone love? What am I? Am I supposed to? Is everyone my neighbor? Can I just say to you that if you have to ask who's my neighbor, you haven't loved God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You haven't loved him that way. See, Paul understood something that oftentimes I think we fail to understand. We're so good at categorizing things in our life. I'll show up at church, that's my love for God. I'll do a few things, that's my love for God. I'll teach a few classes in church, that's my love for God. I'll give to God the things that are God. I'll keep the rest for me. When in reality, our love for God is most explicitly, tangibly demonstrated and expressed in our love for others. Then Jesus tells this parable. It's a great parable, isn't it? A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. As he traveled, he fell among robbers. They attacked him. They beat him. They stripped him. They left him for half dead. And then the Bible tells us that a priest happened to pass his way, and he passed by on the other side, not wanting to get involved. Then a Levite, he came along as well. He passed by on the other side. Finally, a Samaritan, one who was not like this man who fell among the thieves, one who was not like him at all. When he saw him, he had compassion. He loved him. He went to him. He bound him up. He poured oil on his wounds. He put him on his own animal. He took him to the local inn. He paid for his stay. And then as he was leaving, he told the innkeeper, he said, take care of him. Anything else you owe, anything you spend on, I'll take care of that when I return. And Jesus responds by asking the lawyer who put him to the test, who didn't realize that actually the test was on him, the lawyer. He says, which one of the three proved to be the neighbor? Or which one of the three really loved? Why, love, we would have thought, would have been expressed with the priest. Ask anyone about a priest, they would tell, oh, he loves God. He serves in the temple, he loves God. A Levite, the same, he loves God. But ultimately, these men did not love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, because they did not love the other. They didn't care for him. Only this Samaritan. By the way, we've had problems with our neighbors and our brothers and others since time began. Remember when sin entered the world? Remember that second sin following the first sin? Cain killed his brother Abel. He killed him. You remember what the Lord asked Cain after he killed him? He said, Cain, where is thy brother? Where's your brother? Cain's response was, what? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Joseph had a little problem with his brothers. They sold him into slavery. And so it's been all through history. Our sinful nature has often been most demonstrated in our lack of care, our lack of compassion, our lack of helping, loving those around us. We're good at doing some things. But to truly love as the fulfillment of the law, owe no one anything except to love the other. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. These commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. They're fulfilled, they're summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. The one who does no harm to his neighbor, harm like passing by on the other side without helping, harm like walking by without reaching down to help, That person who does no harm, who has not missed that mark, they have, well, fulfilled the law. Just three things very quickly I want to point out about what Paul writes. And the first is this: love, God's love, which should be demonstrated in and through our lives, is a debt we cannot pay. It's a debt we cannot pay. As I was studying for a lesson this evening in the Psalms, I ran across a passage of Scripture that I think just speaks so clearly. It's amazing how, when you study and you study elsewhere, it's amazing how God can bring these things together. But listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 49, a stanza, verses 5 through 9. He says, "Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast in their abundance of their riches? Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit." And I take the Old Testament perspective out, and you know what the psalmist is saying there? He's saying this: how in the world can anyone, any person, pay for their salvation? Impossible. Impossible. But the Bible tells us that when we were weak, still in our sin, Christ died for us. In fact, the Bible says God demonstrated, or he shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, there is a love that has been given to us, a debt of love that we owe if we are followers of Christ. If we truly accepted him and made him Lord and Savior of our life, if heaven is our home, there is a debt of love that we can never, ever, ever repay. And when we start asking those questions, who is my neighbor? Who is my brother? Where can we draw the line of limitations on this thing called love? We'll just do it right here where we are, not worry about other places. Where can we draw the line? It's simply a statement that we have not truly loved God as we should. Because when we love him as we should, it's lived out as we care for others. There is a debt of love we cannot pay. One of my favorite hymns, and I'm not even sure we sing it here, but when I grew up, there was a lady in our church. She would sing this song every time she was asked to sing. And as a teenager, I thought, man, it's getting old. You know, learn a new song. But everyone loved the song. And by the way, if we'd had this crowd in the church I was raised, we would have been celebrating for weeks and weeks, let me tell you. But the song was titled, "The Love of God." The chorus says, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." But the third stanza of this song, I think, captures it so beautifully. The songwriter writes, "Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry.
nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. It's love that is measureless, love that is abounding, love that is a debt that you and I could never, ever, ever begin to repay. So the question isn't, who should I love? The question be simply this: oh Lord, let me love. Let me love with the love of God. Notice what Paul writes in verse 9. He says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. John put it like this: we love because he first loved us. It's the only way we love. I mean, to truly love is to love with the love of God. Jesus asked, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world, forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul and my soul was bought with the love of God. And we could never pay that back. Secondly, love is selfless and sacrificial in nature. Paul made this statement in Romans chapter 9, and I think it is a profound statement. I wonder if any of us could love with this kind of love. He wrote in Romans chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3, he said, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and increasing anguish in my heart. He's talking about his brothers and sisters, those who are fellow Israelites, and his heart is burdened for them. And then he writes this, he said, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ, for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul says, I love them so much that I would give up my standing with Christ so that they might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. By the way, that's godly love. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, just think of what Christ did. He gave up his standing. He paid a debt that he did not owe. He faced judgment, not for what he did, but for what you and I did. And he was separated from the Father so that you and I could be united with the Father. He paid the debt that you and I could not pay. Love selflessly, sacrificially. Notice what Paul writes here in verse 9. He says simply this: for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that's hard. I mean, really, isn't it? You know, and I'll just be very transparent with you. There are days I have trouble loving my kids like I love me. They really are. You know, they'll want something, and I'll think, I need that. I want that money for something I want. And in my mind, I've got this battle going on. You know, I mean, and the battle goes something like this. You know, they're young. They can get jobs. They can eventually get these things. I'm not as young as I used to be. So it was pointed out the other day that I've entered the old man's club. Now that I got a little stint. And you know what? No one had to tell me that. I knew I entered the old man's club every time I look in the mirror. I wonder what happened. And I'm thinking, I ought to do that. We have trouble loving our neighbor as ourself. My goodness, we have trouble loving our family as we do ourselves. Trouble loving our mate as we do ourselves. We all struggle with that. But godly love is selfless, and it is sacrificial. Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus also said, you're my friends if you just do whatever I command you to do. The command, love. Love. Love's a debt we could never pay. Love is selfless and sacrificial in nature. And then notice this, love is self-condemning. God's love, it is self-condemning. Paul ends this section in verse 10 by making a profound statement. He says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How many of you can say, I've never done any wrong to a neighbor? I've never had a bad thought. I've never had a wrong deed. I've never done anything wrong to someone who may have wronged me. You see, that's the love of God. And then here, no here, no way down, is our ability to love in and of ourselves. So when we read these verses, there should be at least in us a sense of conviction that we have not loved as God loves. That there have been others that we've hurt and that we have, well, done wrong to mentally, physically. And through this, we are called to repent. For some of us, we don't know Christ as our Lord and our personal Savior. We don't even understand this kind of love. You'll never understand the kind of love until you know Jesus and His love fills your life. And for the rest of us, like the priest and the Levite, we have to be reminded that all of this, showing up for worship, it's a wonderful thing. Teaching our classes, it's a wonderful thing. Preaching sermons, man, that's a wonderful thing. But the thing that God notes that demonstrates His love and His presence the most is when we truly love with the love of Christ. Our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, the others. That fulfills the law. And the only way you and I ever stand before God, knowing that we have eternal life and that we are right in His eyes, is because we've accepted the sacrifice and the gift of Jesus and made Him Lord and Savior. He is the lover of our soul. Have you by faith done that? Is there some area in your life that you're not demonstrating God's love? Whatever He would have you to do right now, you just pray right where you're at. He'll meet you. He will do His business with you right there. And if need be, I'll meet you right here in front. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love, for the reminder, Father, that our lives should be filled full of forgiveness and love, mercy and grace, joy, always seeing that all have been made in Your image. And like us, every person we meet, needs Your love. Help us, Father, to be that individual that would love in all things.